Are you going to be teaching kindergarten next year for the first time, or do you know someone who is? Teaching kindergarten for the first time can be overwhelming, and maybe you're feeling unsure of where to start. Well, look no further. I have the Ultimate Survival Guide for New Kindergarten Teachers. I created it based on all the things that you need to rock teaching kindergarten next year. All the things I wish I had known as a brand new kindergarten teacher. Get your mindset ready to tackle the challenges of kindergarten, learn how to set up your classroom for success, and master key strategies for teaching effectively. Plus, prepare for the first week of school like a pro. Don't miss out on this free guide, and please share it with your new teammates and friends who are moving to kindergarten next year. Get ready to embark on an incredible journey in kindergarten education with me as your virtual teammate cheering you on. Download the free guide today at www.kindergartencafe.org/new-teacher. That's kindergartencafe.org/new-teacher. Welcome to the kindergarten team. Hey, teacher friends, it's Ziba from Kindergarten Cafe. Today, I want to talk to you about supporting students to learn English. So let's get started. You're listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast, where kindergarten teachers come to learn classroom-tested tips and tricks and teaching ideas they can use in their classroom right away. I'm Ziba, creator and founder of Kindergarten Cafe, and I help kindergarten teachers with everything they need from arrival to dismissal in order to save time, work smarter, not harder, and support students with engaging and purposeful lessons. I'm here to cheer you on through your successes and breakthroughs and offer support and resources so you never have to feel stuck or alone. Ready to start saving time and reducing your stress, all while using effective and purposeful lessons that students love? Let's get started. I see all the time in Facebook groups teachers asking how to help their students who are newcomers or brand new to English, students who are learning English, how to best help them. And so I want to talk about that today. I think that more teachers now than ever are going to be having students that are learning English in their classroom, no matter where you are in the country. I know for me, I have anywhere from 2 or 3 to 10 ELL students, English language learning students. The language is shifting away from English language learning students to be more asset-based approach. So they call these students multilingual learners, because we want to acknowledge that these students have a wonderful foundation in a home language or possibly more than one language. And so they might not be bilingual students. They might have a third or fourth language that they already have full command over, and now they're trying to learn English. So we just want to recognize that it's not just that they're learning English, it's that they are It's really amazing that they are able to be learning another language on top of the other language or languages that they already know. So anyway, let's say that you're teaching and you get that dreaded email that you get a brand new student coming your way in a matter of days. And this time, let's say you know that the student has little to no English knowledge. What can you do? The first thing that you want to really focus on is building relationship with the student, making the student feel safe and comfortable in your classroom. Imagine just how scary the world would be. And maybe some of you even have experienced this yourself, but walking into a room full of people speaking a language that you don't know. If you've ever traveled to another country and tried to communicate in that language and been stuck trying to figure out how to get what you need, you know what it feels like to be an English language learning student. We want to take it from that perspective that these students are probably scared and overwhelmed. And so the best thing that we can do is to make them feel safe and comfortable and to start forming a relationship with them. This means that you want to have big smiles when you see them. You want to have lots of gesturing and waving, and you want to maybe pair them up with a student that can help show them around, because not only are they learning English, but they are a new student to your classroom. So you want to have students, you know, be prepared that they might have to gesture and point and use nonverbal signals, but that they are still expected to show the student around the school, around the playground, include them, invite them into their lunch table, you know, stuff like that. I like to have my students make a welcome sign when we know that we have a new student coming. And if I know another language that they speak, I will try, if I can look it up, and write that on the banner as well. Whether or not my student reads it or not, it's important to the families, to the students, that I see them, I acknowledge them. I value their language. I value their knowledge that they have in their home language. So that's why I like to include their home language if I can. But also, if I know how to say a greeting in the language, I like to use that when I'm meeting the child and the family for the first time. It just shows that I am trying to make an effort to speak their language and to acknowledge all that they know. When the student first arrives, spend some time showing them around the classroom. You'll want to have, if they really have no English at all, you'll want to have some kind of visual that they can use to ask for the bathroom, and you want to pair it with showing them where the bathroom is and maybe, you know, water or something like that, something important that they might need to be able to ask without knowing the words to ask yet. Just spend some time with the student, smiling, showing them that you're happy to see them, showing them around the classroom. This will really help build some good safety and trust with the child. It's important to know that some students go through a silent phase where they are just taking everything in and they're listening and observing, but they are not speaking anything. They are not trying to speak any phrases or anything. And so if a child is completely silent for days, weeks, months, that is perfectly normal. That is completely acceptable, normal, typical. It is okay. After they get comfortable with the language, they start using a word or a phrase that they will have learned. Maybe it's, can I go to the bathroom, or thank you, or help please. And then eventually they'll start to use more and more and more as they get comfortable. But while the child is in the silent phase and they're really not saying anything, it's your job to continue to help them by using gestures and visuals, give them phrases that they can use, but also understand that they might not be comfortable talking at all, and that's okay. Please do not force them to say phrases. You can encourage it, but definitely don't force it. And as I said before, we want to use gestures, visuals, when we're teaching. Visuals are really good for all learners, but especially for English language learners, to have visuals whenever you're teaching new vocabulary, or any sort of content that you're teaching. But you also want to use gestures when you're teaching or when you're reading books. It sounds a little silly, but you really want to be an expressive teacher, because the children are going to be looking to you, to your body language, to your face for signs, trying to figure out what you're talking about. If you don't have a visual, try acting out what you're talking about. Or if you're reading a book and you are not feeling like acting it out, you can point to the picture of what you're talking about. Or even have the kids act out the book, right? The child needs to be able to really see what it is you're talking about so they understand. And even though it might feel awkward, if you're not sure if you're doing this or not, you can film yourself teaching. See, are you being an expressive teacher? Are you gesturing and helping the kids understand what it is you're saying? Because it's not something that necessarily comes naturally to us. So it does help to actually see yourself teach. When I'm teaching vocabulary words to my students that are learning English, and not just the students that are learning English, but all students, I use vocabulary cards with visuals. And I wanted to have a clear image with just the vocabulary word on it. And then I teach them the definition of the word. And then I do something called the 5 steps. This is a model that's used a lot for teaching English. And I don't know where it started from, but I've been taught it, at least in Massachusetts. We have a specialized course and certificate we have for teaching English learning students. And so this is part of that. So it's really the 7-step model, but for older kids. So for younger kids, it's 5 steps. So the way it works is you introduce the vocabulary word. And this is where I like to pair it with a card or a visual if I can. And then I have the students repeat the word. I actually do this 3 times. I say it, they say it, I say it, they say it, I say it, they say it. And so that they get practice saying it. And then I'll give a student-friendly definition, and if possible, have like a motion that the kids can act out or a visual. And then I explain if there's a part of the word that might be difficult, or like it sounds different, or it maybe sounds like a different word altogether, or there's letters that come together to make a difficult sound. And then we show the visual for the word and have the kids use it in a turn and talk with their partner. So have them actually use it in a sentence. And when we do this, when we're asking children to use the word independently with their partner, we want to make sure we always give them a sentence starter. Sentence starters are perfect strategies for kids who are learning English, as well as kids with maybe a verbal disability or a learning disability. They're just good teaching strategies. So a sentence starter is where you're giving students the start of the sentence for what you want them to say. So for example, if you ask students, like, what was your favorite part of the story? Instead of just leaving it at that, you would then say, you're going to turn and talk with your partner and tell them what your favorite part of the story was. My favorite part of the story was, and you literally give them the start of the sentence for them to use. And if you can have this up on the board, great. With younger kids where they're not reading yet, most of them, it's not a big deal, but I definitely like to give them the start of the sentence that I'm asking them to use. It sets them up for success. And so when we're doing a turn and talk with this new vocabulary word, it's definitely important to use the sentence starter with them. You can also use sentence starters in writing. This can be really helpful for them when they're starting stories because their vocabulary is more limited. If you start the sentence and you're only asking them to write one word or two, I would use this with students with some knowledge of English. My brand new students that are learning English from scratch, I would not expect them to be writing yet. Absolutely not. I would just encourage them to draw and add lots of details. And if I'm giving directions like that where I want them to draw a story about, let's say, their family or what they did over the weekend, I might use Google Translate to help me explain the directions to them where it is abstract. We want to be using as much English as possible with the students so that they're learning it, but we want to meet them where they are. So if the point of the lesson, the point of the activity is to draw their family or draw what they did over the weekend, it's okay to use Google Translate and tell them what the direction is so that they can spend time being successful in the activity. If you can use a model, an example of what you're asking, if you can use visuals, great. But for just sending all the kids off to go do something and you really want the student to be doing some drawing too, it's okay to use Google Translate quickly for that part of that direction. For students that are learning English during reading time, I let them listen to books on tape, even though we don't have tape anymore, tape cassettes. But Epic has books that are in some other languages, or maybe they can do books or Raz Kids. If they can listen to the book in their home language, that's fantastic. But if not, they can still be listening to books in English, which is easier for them than reading it on their own, because they'll probably have a more oral language development than they will reading development. But let me just say, don't limit kids to not reading. You can give them books that are mostly pictures, wordless books. You can give them like picture dictionaries to look through to help them learn vocabulary. But you'll be amazed at how quickly they pick up reading, especially if they have a foundation in their home language. The skills really do transfer over to learning to read in English. So if they have those skills in their home language, you'll be amazed at how quickly they pick it up. But even without it, I had kids coming in speaking very little English and now are reading up a storm and some of my highest readers in the class. So it is truly wonderful to watch. Whenever you can, for kids that are doing reading and writing, give them little picture dictionaries or picture visuals, visual word walls to help them match what they're reading or writing to the words that they're learning. In fact, if I'm doing a writing activity with students, I might give them a couple words to use in their writing and encourage them to copy the labels over. So if they're writing about their family, they'll have some visuals, a visual picture dictionary where it has mom, brother, sister, all the different family words. And so they can use that to label who's in their picture. So this is just a very quick outline of some strategies that I use with students that are learning English. I think for a quick recap, we want to remember that students need to feel safe and comfortable in your classroom. All students do, but especially students that are coming in with little to no English, they are probably very scared and overwhelmed. So the more smiling that you can do, more reassuring, the more gestures and visuals that you can have for them is really, really helpful. And to remember that some students will go through a silent phase, and this is totally normal, to not push them beyond it, to let them be wherever they are in their process of learning English. It's okay if they're not talking yet. They're taking it all in, absorbing it. And this is a true story. This is my quote of the day, I guess, although it's more of a story. I had a student that was new to the United States, new to English. They were from Japan. And for months, they were not saying anything at all, not one single thing. And that's okay. It's part of the process. But I was, you know, starting to get a little worried. It was months of just nothing. And then one day, the student raised his hand and said, "Can I go to the bathroom, please?" And I just started like tearing up and crying and was like, "Yes, you can. Oh my goodness, yes." And he's like, "Why are you reacting like this? I just asked to go to the bathroom." That's kind of what his face was telling me anyway. But I was so excited that he finally had the courage, the confidence, that he felt safe. He could trust me. He felt comfortable trying it out. And he said, "Can I go to the bathroom, please?" And not only that, he had every single word grammatically correct in the right structure. He had the right question to ask, all the right vocabulary. Like, he had it all right. It wasn't just a one word, you know, bathroom. It wasn't just broken up. It was the full, complete sentence. And sometimes kids are like that. Sometimes kids don't want to talk in broken sentences and one word fragments. They want to wait till they feel confident that they're going to say it right. These students are often more perfectionistic in other things that they do. But that's perfectly okay. And it's normal. And they're going to be a little bit shyer until they feel comfortable saying what they know is going to be correct. So the more that we can make students feel comfortable, safe, happy, that's the best that we can do. So if you want more tips, I have a blog post that goes into more detail about all of this. I'll put that in the show notes. And you can always DM me and ask questions. And if I should do a part two of this with more in-depth strategies, please let me know. Send me that DM. All right. Thanks so much. See you next week. Thanks so much for listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for more information and resources, or just head straight to kindergartencafe.org for all the goodies. If you liked this episode, the best ways to show your support are to subscribe, leave a review, or send it to a friend. I'll be back next week with even more kindergarten tips. See you then.